Thank you, Randy. And this is the first full week of the new year, 2009. I want to start by asking all of you a question. Are you reading through the Word of God this year? Have you made a New Year's resolution to read the entire Bible? If you have, I hope you have my legacy reading plan. This plan is unique in that it requires you to process books of the Bible rather than piecing together bits of books. The goal is to comprehend the essence God is communicating by reading each book as a whole. The exception is Psalms and Proverbs. Psalms constituted a hymn book or a devotional guide for ancient Israel. And likewise, our goal will be to meditate on three individual psalms each week, thus progressing through the psalmistry once every year. And because the book of Proverbs is replete with principles for successful daily living, the legacy reading plan is to read one chapter of Proverbs each day, thus progressing through Proverbs once a month. Now, I have to confess to you that I was so busy on January 1, 2, and 3 that I didn't start my Bible reading. But with the legacy reading plan, it wasn't a problem. Sunday afternoon, I spent a couple of hours reading the Word of God. In fact, I got so far through Genesis because Genesis reads like a fast-paced novel. It's a historical narrative interlaced with Hebrew poetry. It is intoxicating to read and to absorb. And so I get a lot of my reading for January done in just one quiet Sunday afternoon, a couple of hours devoted to the Word of God. But that's just how you read a book, isn't it? Sometimes you get into a book and you read 20 chapters. Other times you have enough time to read a couple, but you read through a book in a fairly rapid period of time. And in the same way, you can read through the Bible systematically, knowing where you need to get to each month. In the winter, you read approximately 249 chapters. You read the Hebrew Pentateuch and the Hebrew poetry. So in January, you read Genesis and Exodus. In February, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. In March, you read Job, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Solomon. In the spring, you read another 249 chapters. In April, we'll be reading Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel. In May, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. In June, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. In other words, we're going to read through Hebrew history in the spring. In the summer, we'll read through the Hebrew prophets. In fall, we'll read the New Testament. But there's a plan that allows you to read systematically through the Word of God. And even at a minimalist level, everyone listening to my voice ought to do that. We have 66 love letters etched in heavenly handwriting. God is communicating to us, and we have the Word of God in our own language. And we take that for granted. Do you realize that before John Wycliffe, the English Bible simply was not available to people in their own English language? It simply wasn't there. Do you realize that one of the greatest accomplishments of Luther was translating the Bible into German so that the common person could read the Word of God? We have today a legacy of an English Bible. Not everyone had that. Prior to John Wycliffe and the invention of movable type, Bibles simply were not available to the common people throughout the land. Today we have Bibles of every color, shape, and size. I've often quipped that we go to church color-coordinated with our Bibles, but fewer and fewer people are getting into the Word of God or getting the Word of God into them. And I hope that you make one resolution, and that resolution will be to read through the Word of God, to absorb it, to get into it. And next year, you will have done something that most people in America have not done, and you will focus yourself in on the primary principle of the Reformation, and that is our ultimate authority is not what you hear me say on the broadcast or you hear anyone else say. Ultimately, the authority lies in the inerrant Word of God. And God has given us wonderful translations in our time. Let's make use of them and solve the greatest problem in the world today of evangelicalism, and that is biblical illiteracy.